Well, good day, everyone. Let me add my Merry Christmas Eve. Kids, how many more sleeps? Yes. This gathering is one of our, is the favourite tradition for us as a church here at EV at Christmas. You will have picked up that theme of tradition that we're thinking about tonight. At Christmas, we surround ourselves with them more than any time of year. From that favourite movie that we keep going back to, I don't know about Die Hard. What do you reckon? Where's Home Alone? Where's Kevin? That's what's playing in our house tonight. We have our favourite movie to caroling in nursing homes before church. Who feels outdone by the Henderson family, right? Wow, you guys are awesome. From Christmas lights to carols to the beach to prawns, we have our things that we go to and we find deep comfort in them because it connects us with something that hasn't changed. Something that is the same, something that is solid. See, we live in a hustle culture, a fast pace, everything's new, everything's changing. What iPhone number are we up to? And so to come back to things that haven't changed, we find deep comfort in those things. And so we can be thankful for all the great traditions that we enjoy together at Christmas. But as Milky learnt, there is something so much deeper for us to press into. And that's what I want to spend a few minutes with us doing. The deepest comfort that Christmas offers. And a longer lasting comfort than any of those other things that we go to. A comfort that is still there when the tree is dead and the lights are down. A comfort that is still there when the holidays are over and we're back to work, we're back to school. Comfort that is still near when darkness sets in life. See, here's the thing that is critical to understand Christmas. Christmas comfort was born into darkness. Christmas comfort was born into darkness. That's the setting of these verses. Grab them out, have a look at them, that we read in Isaiah. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. Verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You can't actually start to appreciate the comfort of Christmas until you face the reality of the darkness that it came into. And I want to illustrate for us now the reality of darkness. Now, we do have a bunch of little kids with us here, and so I don't want to freak us too out. I don't want to freak you out, but in a moment we are going to turn the lights off, okay? Woo, someone's keen. Now, if you're a little bit scared, hold on to mum or dad's hand. Now, because there are little kids here, the other thing that I want you to do, if you do have a phone, pull it out and turn the torch on, okay? This is one moment where the preacher is telling you in the sermon, it's okay to pull your phone out, turn the torch on, and we're going to hold it up. We got our torches. All right, let's turn off the lights. There they go. Wow, well, it's actually not that dark, is it? It's actually quite pretty. It feels like I'm at a Coldplay concert. But imagine if they all went off. And imagine if they never came back on. And imagine the thick darkness. Imagine this is all you knew every day. Imagine trying to walk over to the other row and just look out for the snake that I put under that row. Oof. Thick darkness. Now, I'm going to leave the lights off until I get up to the part about light, okay? No, actually, the grandpas would fall asleep on us, wouldn't they, kids? Let's bring those lights back up. Ah. There you go. This illustration is completely backfired. I need to get some scarier stuff out there in the darkness. Kids, I bet a bunch of you have a night light, yeah, that is on through the night. There's a reality about light that is comforting. Now, here's the thing. The land that Isaiah wrote these words about 700 years before Jesus was a land of deep darkness. Catch that. These words that we're reading, they're 2,700 years ago from us. From the prophet Isaiah writing about a people living in a land of deep darkness. Not because they didn't have electricity or phones yet. In fact, life seemed to be nice and comfortable. There was health and there was wealth and there was fun things. And yet we read, it's a land of deep darkness. This darkness is a metaphor for the spiritual health of the people. Darkness is a metaphor for the spiritual health of the people. Why? Why this darkness? Well, in the words that are just before the ones that we've got printed, he gives us the reason. If anyone does not speak according to God's word, they have no light of dawn. They'll look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust out into utter darkness. The reason for the deep darkness that Isaiah writes about is that people refuse to have God be God of their lives. People refuse to want to live in light of what God says, and they want to take that job for themselves. They've turned from him, they've ignored him, they've sidelined him. They've pursued life however they would like. And the verdict that Isaiah brings is utter darkness. Friends, I want to put it to you that 2,700 years on, we live in the same dark land. And we feel its presence, especially at Christmas, don't we? We long for things to be bright and full of joy. And yet at this time especially, we feel the pain of what is dark in our life, of precious relationships that are strained or broken, of loved ones that won't be sitting around the table tomorrow. As we look further out from our own home and our own lives, we see wars that ravage, we see injustice that crushes. I got an email from the organisation Lifeline this week that pointed to a recent study that has found the loneliest group of Australians. What do you think the loneliest group of Australians is? 18 to 24-year-olds. Not the group that you would expect. The most connected group through social media are the loneliness. How sad. We enjoy all kinds of things in our lives and at Christmas, and yet there is the presence of darkness in our lives. Now, there are social and environmental reasons for these kind of things, but the Bible gives the rock bottom reason for all of the darkness in our life. The reason which explains why every generation experiences darkness. That no matter our progress, no matter our inventions, this darkness remains. And the rock bottom reason is human sin. We are a land who have turned away from God. We are a people who don't care what God thinks and what God says, and we just want to do things our own way. And this is where it becomes very personal. Every single one of us has done it. Every single one of us has refused to let God be God of our lives. But instead of that leading to freedom, it leads to darkness. Broken relationships, loneliness, but more. And here's the big point. All the dark things in our life point to a deeper spiritual problem. The problem of a broken relationship with the God of life, with the God of light. We know we are built for relationships, yes? We know that. I don't know about you, but it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. Things could be really hard. My health could be really bad. But if the most precious relationships that I have are intact, there's comfort. There's joy. Or flip it around. I could have the dream of the Central Coast lifestyle. I could have the house, I could have the car, I could have the bank balance. But if the most precious relationships are broken, What distress. Well, friends, the things that we don't want to think about often as a community is the most precious relationship we could have is with the God of life, with the God of light. But the reality of our lives means that relationship is broken. That ought to be the cause of our greatest distress, especially since there's nothing we can do to repair it. We live in the land of deep darkness. And it's only by admitting and embracing that this darkness is true that we will see the hope, the life, and the comfort that Christmas offers, which is right there. Look at it again, verse 1. Nevertheless, no matter how dark it's been, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. Verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Notice where this light comes from. It wasn't hidden away somewhere in the darkness. Oh, there it is, we found it. Oh, Elon Musk, he invented it. It's nothing that we do. It's like the sun that rises, it dawns. It is a gift from heaven. This is the critical thing to realize about the comfort of Christmas. It doesn't come from within the darkness, it comes from without. And it comes as a gift from heaven. Look there at verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now, every child, in one sense, is a gift from God, from heaven. But what we have here is the very special birth announcement of no ordinary child. I've got four kids, and I remember as we came to having our first kid, I was so excited, couldn't wait to meet him or her. It was going to be a surprise. And so I was so prepared, I'd prepared this announcement for this kid. I didn't know him or her or name yet, but I'd written a draft as a text message. I'd saved all the people that I wanted to send it to, and I just needed to slot in the name on the night that she came, and off it went. By kid number two, we weren't as organised. I think it went out that night. Hey, we got this son. Kid number three, I think it came a few days later. And kid number four, we never told anyone. Still haven't announced her. I think 10 years on, people have figured it out. This birth announcement is so special, it got announced 700 years before the child came. 700 years with massive expectations. Have a look at verse 6. The government will be on his shoulders, which means this child will be a king. This child is destined to be a ruler, but no ordinary ruler. Verse 7. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Did you catch that? This is the promise of a child who will rule forever. And just by the way, this prophecy we know has been fulfilled by our presence here tonight. 2,700 years on the other side of the world, we gather around the rule of this king. And we do that with people across the globe from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And we do that in solidarity with every generation. This is a prophecy that God has been true to his word. Who else would cause so much attention? Who else would cause gatherings year after year after year after week? Well, it can only be explained by the child being exactly who Isaiah said he would be. Have a look at it, verse 6. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I wish I had time to go through all four of those titles. Let me just pull out one. Mighty God. He will be called Mighty God. Kids, if you're sitting next to your parent, turn to them and say, did you ever think about calling me Mighty God? Didn't think so. But that's exactly what this birth announcement is. And why this child is like no other, because this child would be Mighty God himself. Mighty God, just think about this, would enter into the darkness of a teenager's womb that he might be born into the darkness of a world ruined by human sin. Friends, this is your God. If you have wondered, is God out there? What is God like? How would I know? Have a look at Christmas. Have a look at this announcement of this child who would come, Mighty God himself. Which brings us to the words that we had read from Matthew's Gospel, written 700 years after Isaiah's words. Have a look at them there. We read of Jesus who grew up in Galilee, who went to live in the very places named by Isaiah to fulfill what was said, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Here he is in this man, Mighty God. Now, what will the message of this mighty God be? We rightly think about a baby in a barn and shepherds and stars and wise men and all that kind of stuff, but there's no words from this baby, is there? The baby is very silent. Matthew records for us the very first public words of this child who would grow to be the man Jesus. Have a look at what they are. Verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Repent. The very first words that this child will say as he begins his public ministry as a man, repent. Now, God's kingdom, that means his rule, his reign, to belong to him, to be friends with him, it's come in Jesus. But notice that it's a kingdom that we don't just stroll into. It's not one that we belong to by right. By nature, we belong to darkness, which is why Jesus says, repent. Repent simply means to turn, to turn from darkness, to turn from a life of sin, to turn from ignoring God and his word, to turning to him and delighting in him and trusting in him as our Saviour. What do you think about those first words from this baby that we think of as cute and cuddly and all? They're pretty confronting, aren't they? Repent. They're confronting because it means my life, your life, our lives, they're not okay. God, Mighty God, doesn't come just to cheer us on and give us a few tips. He comes and says, repent. Turn back, turn around. But they can be extremely comforting words if you would humble yourself and do that. How so? Because those who are in desperate need are the very people that Mighty God has come for. Those who are willing to admit they have no right to presume upon God, no hope of repairing the relationship that we've broken, they're the ones that he comes for. Jesus says, I've not come to call the righteous but sinners. And so the comfort of Christmas is for those who would recognize their need for a Saviour. The comfort of Christmas is that our mighty God has come for us to do everything needed to save us in the death and resurrection of this child, the man Jesus. Because he is the Prince of Peace, the one who brings peace between God and sinners. And so let me ask you all this Christmas Eve, do you know the comfort of this peace? Do you know the comfort of a restored relationship with your mighty God? Maybe you are brand new to church. Someone has invited you or you saw something and you've come along. We love that you are here and we get people like you all the time. Maybe this is just new stuff for your ears. Can I urge you to do one thing this Christmas? To walk out of here determined to find out more about this Jesus. Determined to understand just who he is and what he has come to offer more. To actually uncover the comfort, the deepest comfort that he comes to offer, because whatever you are turning to for comfort in life, at best, they are like the torches on a phone. They are nothings. Friends, the great light of life has dawned, has come. Might this Christmas be the one that you receive his invitation to come and know it. But maybe for others here, coming to church on Christmas is just part of the tradition you do at Christmas. And you come along, but you don't then think about Jesus. You have nothing to do with church for another year, and then you come along, you just find comfort in the tradition of the religious thing. Can I say to you, hear the words of the King at the centre of Christmas. Repent. Repent. Jesus is not after fans at a distance. He's after followers. He's after those who would come to him and know him and follow him. It's possible to actually mistake the real comfort of Jesus with religious traditions. Might you, if this is just something you sprinkle into your life, might you too determine to push into who this Jesus really is? And for the rest of us who know and love this child, the Lord Jesus himself, enjoy all the comforting traditions that we attach to this time, but most of all, let them stir your affections for the deepest comfort that we have. That you have relationship with mighty God who has so loved you, he has come for you, and he holds you by his strong hand. So that no matter what is happening in the circumstances of life, no matter how dark it may seem, he is there. He has come for us. And his promises hold true. He has promised that he will remove every tear from our eyes. He will remove everything that is sad, and he will restore us into a world that he is remaking. All of that was announced in the prophet Isaiah, was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, and now we wait. We wait. And as Sov helpfully said on the video, O come, Emmanuel, he's come. He's coming again. We have such great comfort. He is coming again for all of those who have looked to him, who trust him. That is something that we are now going to reflect on in song. I'm going to invite the band back up. And as they do that, let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who has made yourself known. That though we may be in the dark about so many things, we are not in the dark about you. You have revealed yourself in Jesus. You have sent him. And we praise you that you have done this for us, for the undeserving. And I want to pray on our behalf that for those of us who don't know Jesus, don't know a personal relationship with him and all that he brings, that this might be a moment that you break through, like you did for Yulani, where maybe the things that people have heard hundreds of times become so deeply real, and that you would restore relationship with more and more people this Christmas. For those of us who know that, might we just appreciate how beautiful, how wonderful, how significant it is to belong to mighty God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.